Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains this day and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. We come again to this unfolding drama that we witnessed together in this second psalm of the Bible. And as we have been looking at this psalm, we have said over and over again that it's a psalm that teaches us about how to find true blessedness. And basically the psalm is telling us that true joy is found in having an appropriate relationship with the living God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the basic message of this psalm. We notice that it's in categories of three verses at a time. In the first three verses, we saw the wrong crowd that you can easily end up in. A crowd that is so misleading because it gives you the impression that to be truly happy, you must be godless. You must throw away the chains and the fetters, the shackles of God and his word, of Christianity, of the Bible. Throw these things away. Then you will truly be happy in finding yourself. That's what we really saw in the first three verses. And clearly it was all wrong, as we have gone on to see. In the next group of three verses, that is verse 4 to verse 6 and verse 7 to verse 9, we have seen the response of God on the one hand and the response of God's king on the other. In God's case, we saw him laughing at this human mutiny, the uselessness of any attempt by human beings to do away with God. God basically laughed it off. He got angry and he finally made an announcement whose echo went right through the corridors of time, as it were, when he said, I have installed my king upon my holy hill. In other words, this is what the king has done, and there's nothing you can do about it. Power is on my side. On the other side, there is the king himself. Initially, David, King David, but obviously this is pointing, as we have seen, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is showing his confidence there. Why? This mutiny must fail. And basically, he draws our attention to the position that the king has given, rather that God has given him. He also shows us the possession that God has offered has been given. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. This is glorious power. It is an equal power because it is divine power. It is the power of the Creator himself that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been given power in heaven and on earth. And that's why he has said to his church, go and make disciples of all nations. Go and warn the people to turn away from their idols, turn away from their gods, turn away from all that peer pressure that they are listening to, that they must come to me. In other words, what God was saying, and what Jesus, the Son of God, is saying, is that this agenda for worldwide dominion is unstoppable. You are a fool to stand in its way. And this is what brings us to the closing of that scene, and then this morning we are beginning with the opening of the last scene. Remember, we have said that it's good to look at this psalm like someone sitting watching a play. So we saw the first scene, human beings all up in arms against anything to do with God, the curtains closed. The next time they opened, we saw God upon his throne responding to this situation with complete confidence, and then the curtains closed. And then for the last number of weeks, we had the last scene open before us. Jesus also on the throne, showing his confidence, oozing as it were with the confidence that is there in his heart that his agenda will finally reach the end. And the curtains crossed. Now the curtains have opened. And as they open before us, we are hearing a town crier going in the public square. Who is the town crier? It's obviously an old image which I need to bring to our attention. Once upon a time, they did not have radio and TV. These things we take for granted so much. They didn't have the internet. You may not believe me, but it wasn't there once upon a time. So when a king wanted to send a message to the people, he sent an individual who was called a town crier. And what this person did was he got on a horse and galloped through the village, through the community. And the primary place he was going to was what was called the public square or the marketplace, the place where people came to do their shopping, to share in the local gossip, find out what was actually going on, what is it that's important, and so on. And then they make their way back to their homes, and as they're making their way back to their homes, they are sharing with the people, have you heard? This is what's going on. This is what the king has said. I've just picked it up at the public square, in the marketplace, and so on. So the town crier, although on his way to the marketplace and on his way back would be sharing the news from the king, the primary place he went to was in the public square, where he got off his horse, went onto a platform, opened a scroll from the king, and then said to the people, hear all ye people what the king has said. And then he would read it out for everybody to hear. Well, this is the last scene now. We are sitting, watching what's happening on the stage, and in gallops the horse with a town crier on it, and he is speaking to us based on what we have just seen. The information from heaven. Prior to verse 4, we had only information from every king. But now, the town crier has come. And therefore, the very first words we read in our text are words the previous statement. In other words, in the light of God's deliberate effort to reveal His plans for human history, you cannot hide behind ignorance anymore. That's really the heart of these last three verses, beginning with the statement, therefore, you kings, be wise. Prior to verse 4, perhaps we can understand this. But now, things have changed. So I trust all of you with the Bibles on your laps have at least a little word there for there. Although most of our versions, and rightly so, have the phrase, now, therefore. And really, the little Hebrew word which is used here, it symbolizes the word now, or at this time. In other words, the things that you said before make sense then. But we have just received information. Surely, something needs to change in the way in which we are to respond. Whereas you had these plans before, whereas you were thinking like this before, in the light of what you now know, should you still continue with the initial plan? I mean, imagine yourself sitting with people who are really convincing you that if we can just rob this bank, oh, we will be very rich. And then look, we've got the AK-47s, and we've got this and that weapons, and so on. And in that bank, all they have some ill-equipped security guards from this firm and so on. And so you're all planning and you're really excited. This is what we're going to do. First thing in the morning, share all your AK-47s. And you're going to stage a robbery. And you know that that's where the dollars are going to be from this particular organization that is aiding the country. And as you arrive there in the morning, in your vehicle, with tinted glasses, as you peep at that bank, you suddenly discover that there are heavily armed special force policemen killing around the place like ants. I mean, you don't simply say, well, let's continue with planning. No! You look and say, driver, continue that. Because you now have new information. Your eyes have told you that actually the situation has changed. It's not what you thought. And consequently, you need to get back to your hideout, back to your drawing table, and start your plans afresh. moment and think, get back to the drawing room, so to speak, and say, in the light of this information I have, should I really continue this way? And friends, we ought to thank God that He is such a gracious God. He had every right to remain quiet, but He's given us an entire Bible so that we might know the future. And the Bible is very clear about God's agenda ahead of us. Very clear. Not only that, He has given us preachers that He continues to call and send out with this same message, so that we are not left in ignorance, that we may know the truth concerning Jesus Christ, concerning His salvation, concerning His power, especially when He comes again. Now, once we have received this information, we don't continue as if we were in ignorance. We don't. On one occasion, Paul was preaching in one of the major cities in the Roman Empire, a city called Athens. And he stood in their university, the Areopagus, where there are those with degrees that could sink you in quicksand, were meeting regularly to discuss the issues, and stood there and he preached to them concerning their idolatry, the gods that they were trusting in. He stood there and he told them, look, God has decided to overlook your previous ignorance. Decided to do that. But now, having raised His Son from the dead, He is commanding everybody to repent of their sins and put their trust in Him. Don't hide behind previous ignorance. Before Jesus Christ came, before He lived on earth, the blessed Son of God has lived, He has died, He's been raised from the dead publicly. So don't hide behind ignorance anymore. You now have facts before you. And that's important to all of us. It's important because we like saying, no, but what about the people in the Old Testament? But what about before? What about before? You are living in a different time. You are living in the now. You have God's information before you. But this message is especially important for those of you who have authority and influence over others. Notice, it says, therefore, you king. In the first verse, it spoke about why do the nations conspire, why do the peoples plot in vain. But we soon noticed in the second verse that this conspiring, this ungodliness, this human mutiny was not incidental. It's an organized crime, organized by those in positions of authority. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. And so this message from the town crier is primarily for you who have authority over the ordinary folks in your society. The people who are in positions where other people have to listen to them. Obviously, in David's case, it was literally the kings of the earth that were coming together and saying, let us resist this. Let us put up a gallant fight.
listen, today.
And here we must throw in a lot more people. We must throw in the politicians to begin with, yes. But also parents who themselves exercise authority over children and consequently influence them the wrong way. We must add to this people who play the role of teachers, using their education to convince young people that there is no God. That this Bible is just a book written by people who did not know any better. We are the educated ones, thousands of years later. We shouldn't be listening to people who did not know the basics of life. Science has brought us human beings to maturity. This book is outdated. Who are influencing others? We must throw into this the people behind the world's media, the television, the movies, the newspapers, the magazines. And you can't help noticing that there is a clear agenda. An agenda that promotes atheism. An agenda that promotes evolution. An agenda that promotes idolatry. You can't miss it. And so a lot of people, especially young people, are influenced by these individuals who glory in blasting away at morality, blasting away at Christianity, pretending they are making large holes into the Bible to show that in fact it is completely wrong. All these must be thrown in here. We must throw in our so-called celebrities. As I keep saying, we call them stars. Music stars, sports stars. We need to throw in talk show hosts. I won't mention names in case you think I'll mention one. But throw them all in there. I know quite a few. Throw them in there. The town crier is speaking to us if we answer that description. Because he knows that most people in society are simply following the crowd. That's all. And that's just the way the world seeks to influence people. You see it in Acts, don't you? Huh? 2.5 million people can't be wrong. Even if you don't understand where they are going, just follow them. In Matthew 27, we have an example of this when Jesus Christ was undergoing trial. Pilate wanted to release him, but he was not willing. Matthew 27. The Bible tells us in verse 19 that while Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But listen to this, verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd, ladies, persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. So although in verse 18 we are told that Pilate knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus
day. To his utter shock, after his short conversation with his wife, when he came back to the people and said, "Fine, who are you going to choose?" They all said, "Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas." He was in trouble. Not because Barabbas had done anything good for them. It was because they had been influenced by those who had authority over them. And consequently, they ended up choosing a murderer instead of one who was bringing back the dead, their own dead relatives to them. And that's the way life is. Most of you in here, the reason why you are still in your non-Christian stubbornness is simply because you are saying, "Oh, you know, that can't be wrong. No, mom cannot be wrong. No, my teacher is an intelligent person. He doesn't go to church. Sure, there must be something in this." So some of you taking time to think through this issue on your own, you are simply following others who are also simply following others to their doom. I use the story of that little nursery story, the Pied Piper who cleared the town of the rats that were causing havoc. The people in town tried to remove the rats using all kinds of methods and completely failed. And this guy came along with a flute and he said, "Well, look, I can remove all these from here." And he started playing a tune and going towards the river. And rat after rat came out of their hiding places, following one another. Even those that couldn't hear the tune anymore were simply saying, "I mean, why are the rats going this way? There must be something." And in the end, he got to the edge of the river and stopped. Oh, the rats in front realized there's a river, they would drown. But they couldn't stop because the rats behind them were pushing. And that's how rat after rat, rat after rat, found themselves drowned in the river. Simply following the crowd. God knows. And when the day of judgment comes, there will be those of you who will pay dearly. Jesus says, temptation will come. Sin will come in this world. It will! Up to the end of history. But he says, woe to the person through whom it has come. It would have been better for this person that a milestone was tied around his neck and he was thrown with it. That's a better option than to be the means by which you are influencing other people to go to hell, to be destroyed. And therefore, the town crier aims for such people. And if you answer to that description, he is saying to you, be wise. Let's think about that for a moment. He says, therefore, you kings, you who have the authority over other people, you who have taken other people in your sway, what is the counsel? Be wise. In other words, he is appealing to you to get back to the drawing board and see whether in the light of what you now know, your present line of action will truly benefit you or benefit those who are under your influence or your power. What is wisdom? I'm always quick to point out that wisdom is different from knowledge. You can be a very knowledgeable fool. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge for your benefit and for the benefit of others. That's wisdom. And that's really what the town crier is saying. He's looking into the faces of these kings who are leading a mutiny. And he's saying, stop! You just heard what heaven is saying. You just heard what Jesus himself is saying about the future. About his own glorious, infinite, divine power. You've just listened to all these things. Be wise. In other words, exercise better judgment. Think. I mean, look at those robbers I used as an example earlier on. They took one look and said to the driver, drive on. That's not what they agreed on earlier on. And as doubtful as their wisdom might be, they have enough sense to recognize that jumping out of this car with AK-47 is to doom ourselves. Look! So how do you, in the light of what God's word says, still say, I'm continuing as a young Christian? There's no God. We just, there was just a bang sometime, millions and millions of years ago. There was just a bang. And from that bang somehow, molecule says to another molecule, let's do this. And then another molecule said, okay, I'll join in. And then molecule after molecule, and here we are! As a result of molecules having conversations with each other. I'm sure some of you heard that on BBC. Educated people sitting together saying it's molecule. The reason why I'm not like a duck with all this together is because the molecules in between here said, let's die. But those of a duck, they say, no, let's continue living. So that's how it has this. The molecules talk to each other. And basically, that's the message coming to us. It's saying to each one of us, think again about your life. Think again about these realities that the Bible shares with you, that the Bible shows very clearly over a period of 1,500 years. One prophet after the other saying things that are closely connected and all pointing to the same direction. How can this be? How can anybody tell me that this is an outworking of mere human thoughts? Out of question completely. Because God is there. And God has revealed himself to us. And wisdom is submitting ourselves to this book. And it's appeal upon us to abandon our sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading with him to have mercy on us. That's the path of wisdom. Not continuing in the same way. You know, God has said long ago, through his prophet Isaiah, come now, let us reason together. If there is a life that is completely unreasonable, It's a life of sin. You sit down with a person who is in rebellion and sin and just try to engage them with cool-headedness about life without God, about life without Christ, about life lived outside the confines of the Bible. And you notice how they soon lose their temper and storm off in anger because it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. But I must appeal to you. You are here today. And here's my question. Why start a fight that you know you cannot win? Why? Basically, that's what verse 4 to verse 9 is all about. It's saying to you that God's agenda is unstoppable. He's going to east and west, north and south, to all the nations of the world to bring in his elect people. He will convict them of sin by his Spirit. He will bring them to faith in his own Son. And finally, they will all be gathered together as one people of God. And anybody who is not part of that company must finally be thrown into hell when Jesus Christ returns. That's where history is going. Now maybe when you started your rebellion, you didn't know this thing. So you were listening to your peers, your friends saying, "Mwana, let's do this," and "Mwana, let's do the other." No, maybe you were listening to your parents who were saying, "Well, you know, these things belong to an ancient time. Now we are educated and so on." Or your teachers or your lecturers, whatever it might be. You may be listening to all these people. But now you've been educated in the Word. You've got a Bible in front of you. Why continue in the same way? Why should you perish? Why should your children perish? Why should the people who are under you perish? Why? Because you certainly won't win. You won't. You must finally be destroyed. My appeal is this. Especially for those of you who have influence on others. If you hate yourself enough to send yourself to hell, leave others alone. Leave them alone. Don't bring them to hell with you. Do not influence them to their door. But I doubt that you hate yourself. So then listen to the town crier as it says, stop, think. And more than that, as we shall be learning in future, in coming weeks, he is saying, come to the Savior. Kiss the Son. And not tomorrow or next week. No, kiss the Son now. Let him be angry with you. Because in a moment, his anger can flare and you can get destroyed. So don't postpone the issue of your salvation. Do it now. Cry to the Lord Jesus now. Surrender your life to him. Today is the day of salvation. The day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't cry to him that he may save you from your sin. That's the appeal that comes from Scripture about wisdom. Wisdom is using the knowledge decisively at the right moment to rescue yourself from misery and to rescue others from misery. Oh, will you not do that today? Won't you? We're witnessing individuals in the baptismal pool who is saying one day they came to this church in the recent past, came in sin. But that same day, they made the why decision. They realized on which side lay their happiness, their joy. And consequently, they cried to the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on them, to save them from sin. I make the appeal to you to join such a company. Stop continuing stubbornness. You will only be destroyed. Come to the Savior. Make no delay, because here in His Word, He has shown you the way. Call on Him.